This is the Truth Network. Kingdom Pursuits, where you hear from ordinary people instilled with an extraordinary passion. Together we explore the stories of men and women who take what they love and let God turn their passion into Kingdom Pursuits. Now, live from the Truth Booth, your host, Robbie Dillmore.
Oh, have we got a show for you today, like for such a time as this on Kingdom Pursuits. We are loaded for bear. And I'm so excited to share some of the things that I got to learn at the NRB. And as I said, for these times, how cool. I get to line up these folks for this show today in light of all this that's going on. First off, we have Steve Hemphill. And Steve has a unique story, but he's also the author of What Are the Stakes? God Markers of the Land. And welcome, Steve.
Well, thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, I mean, aren't you thinking, Steve, with your story and your how God put spiritual warfare on your heart, that, you know, these stakes are pretty high right now, and you know, the stakes are kind of needed like never before, right?
Well, yeah. In fact, my wife came up with the idea for the book. It's a little plastic stake with verses on it, but the stakes of the country, the stakes of our faith, the stakes of our churches, the stakes of our future lives are all at stake based on the choices we make and the commitment we have to the Lord, and that's what this is all about.
So I know you're gonna really, really enjoy Steve on the show today, but also we have Rodney and Jennifer Williams. And Rodney and Jennifer have a very unique story of overcoming a storm like, you know, unbelievable. It's called Club Meth to Christ. So welcome, Rodney and Jennifer.
Hey, how are you?
I am wonderful, Jennifer. And Rodney, welcome,
yes,
buddy.
It's good to hear from you again.
Yeah. And you guys are in what state today?
We are in Mississippi Gulf Coast.
He's in Mississippi. Steve, you is in Texas. And so what you guys are experiencing is a little different than what they're experiencing in Texas and what we're experiencing in North Carolina. But I imagine that you've come through some pretty serious storms in your life to where you're looking at this a little different than those people around you, right?
Yes, sir. Well, we're taking precautions, but at the same time, we're not walking a spirit of fear. You know, we know who we belong to.
Right. So I know you're going to enjoy this, but as always on Kingdom Pursuits, we have to do our riddle. So speaking of stakes, not putting out Steve's spiritual warfare spikes, you might guess this, would be a missed stake. Come on now. It's a little bit funny. How about?
I think it was the steaks that threw me off.
Undercooked steaks are a rare situation, but be careful. These days, if you go out looking for them, you could get a raw deal. Mm. It could happen. And
it just goes from bad to worse, doesn't it?
It does. It even gets worse because I had this idea for a chain of Elvis Presley steakhouses. Have you heard about this one?
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
No.
It would be for people who love meat tender. Yeah. And I don't know about you, but I think that becoming a vegetarian would be a mistake, wouldn't it? I mean, absolutely.
I agree with that, totally.
And a butcher shop that opened up on the 10th floor there in New York City. From what I understand, the stakes were high. Just
that's not too bad.
And Steve, you're in Texas, right?
Right.
And, you know, there's the big, if you ever go to Amarillo, there's the big Texas steakhouse. And I'm told that if you can eat the 32-ounce steak, that you get one absolutely free. But personally, I found it a little hard to swallow.
Yes, but I do think it was a 72-ounce steak.
It is. In fact, you know, they have judges there. And from what I understand, when a judge eats out, his honor is at stake. That's what they say. And they just keep coming. When news of the meat shipment was coming, reached the gold rush, you could stake your claim and then claim your stake.
it does go from bad to worse.
It does, but being burned at the stake, as Joan Ark would tell you, is a rare experience. But it's seldom well done. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So you knew after all those horrible puns, and you would get a chance to laugh a little bit this morning, I hope. What my daughter told me, my daughter's a nurse at Baptist Hospital here in Winston-Salem, and they're putting them through yoga laugh training because they're finding that if you laugh, you get endorphins for free, whether it's a fake laugh or not. So they have taught them, and this is a perfect Christian car guy kind of laugh thing. So when you, start your car, you know how it goes, but if you do that with laughing, it's going to make you feel better under pressure. So you can go, especially if your car is hard to start. So I know you want to. So there you go. So after all that, who in the Bible, here's the actual riddle, you can call in. Not only can you win, this is really awesome prizes today. Not only can you win four of these stakes that have the Bible verses on, we're going to talk about here shortly, but you can also win both books. You can win.
We got two sensational prizes, Robbie. Club Meth to Christ by Rodney Williams. It's a real-life battle of a 20-year addiction to a life of freedom because of the power of Christ. And What Are the Stakes? God's Markers on the Land by Steve Hempel, a book that will help you discover strategic ways to use prayer in combination with God's holy word. Plus, What Are the Stakes? Stakes. That's S-T-A-K-E-S, not S-T-E-A-K-S.
Thank you, Johnny.
Yeah.
So, who in the Bible, after getting a stake from a woman, threw a temple tantrum? There you go. There's the actual riddle. Who in the Bible, after getting a stake from a woman, threw a temple tantrum? 866-348-7884 is the number to call in and win all those goodies. 866-34-TRUTH. So, Steve.
Yes.
So people get an idea. Can you kind of take us back to the beginning of the stakeout?
It won't be what you think it was, but I'll give you the story. I sort of accidentally became an author when my dad died and left a sealed note in his safe that said, "Don't open it." And that led to a book called My Search for the Real Heaven. And at the time I had a business with 36 employees, a technology company. I thought, can you hear me?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we hear you. Great. Okay. You're doing good.
I thought I'd be there the rest of my life. And after the first book did well and I started getting invited to speak, I just walked away from that company and felt like God wanted me in ministry. And I was starting a book called Prayers Satan Hates. And I intended to share prayer success stories from all my almost 30 years owning a company and all the prayers that God answered and the ways that he got me through difficulties when people wouldn't pay the bills or whatever. But I prayed a weird prayer. I prayed weird prayers. I said, "Lord, please give me something to put in this book that truly helps people. I don't want to write another book just to make money. I want to write a book to make a difference." And that's when things really began to happen. A friend of mine from church called and said, "Is it true your next book is on spiritual warfare?" And I said, "Yes, why?" He said, "I have a buddy I've been trying to bring to Christ for 25 years. He's a great guy. I love him. We're very good friends, but he's mad at God, and I haven't been able to make any progress with him until right now. He has a spiritual warfare problem, and I'm thinking this might be our chance to convert him. Would you talk to Bill?" And I said, "Well, sure. I don't know if I can help or not, but I'll talk to him." So I go meet Bill, and we're talking face-to-face, and I just said, "What's wrong? What's your spiritual warfare problem?" And he looked at me dead serious and said, "I have demons on my property. I'm getting ready to commit suicide."
Wow, and we're going to have to leave Bill there for right now, Steve, as we got to go to a break. When we get back, we'll find out what happened with Bill, why the stakes are high. We got so much coming up with Club Meth, and when you get into this story, it's quite a story. that I'm hoping will bring you hope in a time where we could all use a little more. We got Jim and Monroe's. Monroe's got an answer for us on the riddle. So stay tuned. So much more. Kingdom Pursuits. Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. Today, we're really excited to welcome Steve Hemphill. He's the author of What Are the Stakes? God's Markers of the Land. I think you're going to be so excited to hear that. And Rodney and Jennifer Williams, Club Meth to Christ. And another story of hope that is just a wonderful thing as we begin to just really get our eyes on Jesus and off the storm today, as we are experiencing all these folks. We got Jim is in Monroe, North Carolina, and Jim thinks he knows who in the Bible, after getting a steak from a woman, threw a temple tantrum. Do you know who that was, Jim?
Yes, it was Sisera.
It was. Yeah.
That was when Deborah and Barak were chasing them around.
Yeah, you know, the stakes were high, and she used a temp peg right through the old temple. That's one
yeah,
of the,
after
the,
giving him some milk, he went to sleep, took a nap, and never woke up.
That is just one of those stories, like when I read it the first time, I was like, oh, what a man. You know, it just kind of grabs your attention, doesn't it?
Yes.
Well, thank you for calling in today. You got a whole selection of prizes. I'm going to put you back on hold so Bethann can get that from you. Thank you for calling in and winning today, Jim.
Well, thank you.
Well, but also, since I got you on the phone, and I just will ask you, you know, right now it's pretty easy to fall into fear, that fear is jumping all over us from every angle. And I think I'd be interested in what you're doing, Jim, to, you know, kind of be a light out there in Monroe right now.
Well, you know, David said it best when God was judging him for the census, is that he was going to leave it up to God. He chose God's hand because God has grace and mercy. And I think that's the attitude I'm taking. I'm just relying on God to just do what he wants to do. He's in control.
Yeah, Jim, I love that story too. And I've thought about that story several times recently, and it's because, you know, he kind of started the pestilence in that case where, you know, he made his choice. But then, just like you said, he kind of left it up to God. And
yeah, that's exactly how he said it. You know, rather than choose the invading armies or whatever, he says, I'll choose God because of his infinite grace and mercy. And that's exactly what happened. Sure, there was still...
Yeah, and I might be saying it wrong. It was the threshing floor of Obed-Edom or something, that where he went and made the sacrifice. When you think about how God used that, that ended up being the Temple Mount, right?
Yeah. Yep.
And so who knows what God's going to do with the pestilence we're dealing with right now, Jim. I love that story. That's just awesome. God bless you. Thank you for that. I'm going to put you back on hold.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. All right. Well, we got to get to Jennifer and Rodney's story a little bit. We kind of sunk our teeth into that steak for a minute, but now we got Jennifer and Rodney. We haven't gotten hardly a chance to find out much yet. But Rodney, why don't you go first for us to kind of take us into how Club Meth became, you know, kind of how God used the way he comforted you to comfort others.
Well, just 20-something years of drug addiction, you know, searching and looking all the wrong places, in and out of jail. My life was a wreck. And June 19th, 2002, cooking methamphetamines, the fumes built up, and a spark went off the heat lamp, and the whole trailer ignited, a meth lab explosion, and I had second, third-degree burns. Had the doors bolted down. Of course, the door comes open. After frantically trying to get the door open, it comes open and run outside. I'm on the way to the hospital that night, had these people take me to the hospital. I cried out to Jesus. I'd been in and out of jail, and I, you know, I knew who God was, but I wasn't willing to surrender my life fully to him, you know. I always tell people I want to go to heaven, but I want to live like hell. But this night I was finally broken at my end point, and I just cried out to God, God, you take eye, ear, whatever you want, whatever's left, I'm going to serve you. And that night I become a child of God, and that was 17 and a half years ago. And would go through skin grafts, wound care, the different things that took to get my body back in shape. And but my life was still a wreck, even though I was a born-again child of God. I was legally free because I'm now in Christ, but I'm not experiencing freedom. And God would send me to the Home of Grace, a Christian rehabilitation center, and I'd stay 3 months out there just being transformed and changed through the Word. And then one night the feeling of the Holy Spirit come upon me, and I begin to experience that freedom that Christ had won for me. And it's been a process the last 17 and a half years.
Wow.
Yeah,
absolutely. And Jennifer, tell us how you came into this story.
Well, I had a history with drugs and had basically lived as a drug addict for about 12 years and living in trailer park trash in South Mississippi with two kids out of wedlock and you know, trying to survive. And by the grace of God, I got into some trouble with the law, and the judge said, you have a choice. You have 18 years in prison, or you can go through drug court. So, of course, I went through drug court after being in jail for a while and went in kicking and screaming. Didn't want to go. But my sister took me and both my children in and let us live with her for about the first year of drug court. And she said, you know, you've got so many problems that drug court can't address. You need to call the church and get some counseling. And so the pastor, who was at Way Baptist Church at the time, sent Rodney out to meet me. And he said, you know, I'm no counselor. All I know is you need to give your life to Christ just like I did. And I thought, you know, I don't have a car. I had to get a babysitter to come up here and get all that. I mean, you know, that was the depth of his counseling. And I was irritated. And when I lived with my sister, I knew the expectation was to go to church. And I wanted to go. I knew I needed the Lord, but I didn't want to go because I didn't fit in with everybody, you know. But I went with her. And after a couple months, she kept saying, you know, there's a guy here that teaches this class, that wrote this book. You should go to his class. So I eventually went. And it was the counselor, the counselor that they sent out was the teacher of the class. And he introduced me as Jennifer. Was a drug addict and has two children out of wedlock, and she's on drug court. That's how he introduced me to the whole class, and I just thought I'd die. And but what he was doing was just, you know, going around the room and saying, this is so-and-so, she just went through a divorce, and this is, you know, so-and-so, he's on house arrest. And he was leveling all the mess that you come into church with, and you think when you come from a background like we do that everybody's got their act together because they look like they have their act together. And you know, it's all level at the cross, you know. And anyway, so we met there, and probably about a year later, went on our first date, and eventually ended up getting married and having two more children.
That's such a cool story. I just love it, and books, and ministry, and all sorts of other stuff. So, you know, getting back to Steve, we left our hero, which we're probably going to cut him off again because we're coming up. But anyway, Steve, so Bill was wanting to come to Christ, he wasn't wanting to come to Christ, and he called you because he just needed to get these demons out.
Yes, and he was getting ready to commit suicide. That's what he told me. He said, I just want to talk to you first. I was thinking about suicide, and I just started what I call panic prayer because I didn't know how to help that. I had no experience with demons or demon removal in any way. I grew up in a very conservative Christian church environment. But we never talked about the Holy Spirit. We never talked about demons. And so I just started praying, Lord, what do I say? This guy is about to commit suicide, and I don't know how to help him. Please give me the right words. And immediately a strange verse popped in my head from Deuteronomy chapter 6. I couldn't have quoted it if you'd have paid me, and all of a sudden I could see it clear as day. It's the one in verses, I think, 6 through 8 of Deuteronomy 6 that says something like, you're living in a land full of evil, so be sure to put my word on your gates and doorposts. Now, the Jews took that very literally. They didn't say, oh, that's just symbolic. You don't literally do that. No, they still do it. It's called the mezuzah, and they do hang it on the doorpost, and it has verses that promise God's protection to his people, and they still do it today, and it's not a magic box. It's a symbol of their covenant with God. And so immediately I knew what to say. I turned to Bill and said, Bill, don't kill yourself yet. Let's try something bizarre. The Bible's full of bizarre stories like talking snakes and walking on water. Let's take some tent stakes and put Bible verses on them and put them all the way in the ground on the four corners of your property where this weird stuff is happening, and pray and ask God to make it stop and see what he does. And he said, okay, I'll try anything. We did that. It's too long a story to tell you, but he became a Christian the next week. And that blew my mind because it was too weird. And I'm thinking at this point, how do I write this story and not look weird? And I'm home trying to do that. My wife's a teacher. She answered the phone ringing in the kitchen while she's cooking. And it's a lady she knows from school teaching. And this lady goes, is it true, Mary Lynn, that Steve's next book is on spiritual warfare? She said, yeah, why? This lady goes, I got to talk to him now. Can I come over this minute? And she says, yeah, come on over. She'd had a mission trip with her church overseas. And for the first time in her life, she was having terrifying demonic dreams now every night for 6 weeks since she'd been back, every night exactly 3 a.m. on the clock. And she said, I wake up terrified. And I said, well, I never heard of demonic dreams. Describe them for me. And when she described them, it was almost word for word what it says in Job 4, 13 to 17. I found the verse later. But Job 4, 13 to 17, NLT says, it came to me in a disturbing vision at night when people are in deep sleep. Fear gripped me, my bones trembled, a spirit swept past my face, my hair stood on end. Well, that's what she's describing. She says, what do I do? And I said, Victoria, I'm not an expert, but Bill was going to kill himself, said he had demons on his property, and we put Bible verses on tent stakes and put them in the ground around his property, and everything stopped. He became a Christian. She said, okay, I'm going to do that. So she just drove to Army Navy, bought some tent stakes, wrote verses all over them, and stood them in the corners of her apartment, read the verses out loud, and prayed for God to make the nightmares stop. And
well, I knew this would happen again, so we're going to find out what happened to our next staker, as the case may be, and more of Jennifer and Rodney's story, their ministry, and wow. I think you're catching the theme between the two. Like, when we didn't know what else to do, we prayed. And miraculous stuff begins to happen. What a great place to find ourselves where we are in prayer. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. We're having just a wonderful time today with Steve Hempfel. He's the author of What Are the Stakes? God's Markers of the Land, and Rodney and Jennifer Williams. Rodney is the author of Club Meth to Christ. That's a book, but their ministry is Club Meth to Christ. And again, as you're listening, we're just praying here at the Truth Network that we all can get our eyes on where our solution is, you know, and you know, turn to this place of hope and joy and faith. And it just seems absolutely crazy in these times that somehow or another, the book of James says, consider it pure joy when you meet furious trials of all different kinds. And so, wow, Steve, that's a real challenge right this minute, that I think the stakes are something that we all can, and I'm going to tell my own story about the stakes here shortly, but if you go to kingdompursuits.com, you're going to find both books, and you're going to find that you can order the stakes too from Steve's ministry, but the stakes now are a lot better than what he was sharing there, and they actually have Bible verses imprinted in the plastic. We're going to get to that story in a minute, but I wanted to make you aware that it's right there at kingdompursuits.com. You can order the books, order the stakes, all that kind of stuff. But it's kind of cool how God opens doors when obviously he wants something. And I'm wondering if you can quickly tell us what happened with the lady, the second lady, and then move on to the story about how you got the plastic stakes.
Okay. Well, as soon as the lady did the staking in her apartment, she stood them in the corners of her apartment and read the verses and prayed. Immediately, the nightmares stopped, and they'd been going on for 6 weeks. She was actually scared to go to sleep at this point. And so I was the only one she had told until it stopped. So she went to school and told her best friend. Her best friend was her principal. They asked me to stake out a public school. And so we actually did that at night when no one knew. And the man causing all the problems actually died. He was 30-something, had a heart attack. Not that I'm happy about that, but when children are at risk, God seems to get serious. And so next thing I know, people are calling saying, how much are your steaks? And I would say, I don't sell steaks. Go make your own steaks. And then all the funny questions started coming in. What'd you make them out of? How long are they? How deep are they? How far apart are they? How many verses did you use? What color are they? And I'm laughing at all these questions and just saying it's not a formula. It's an act of faith. You could make your own and you could use other verses. But anyway, my men's small group I meet with on Thursdays for prayer looked at me one day and they said, you know, Steve, you've walked away from a good salary to no salary. You go all over the country and speak on this heaven and on spiritual warfare. Maybe this is God's way of helping others and helping you to be able to do this. We think you ought to sell steaks. And one of the guys had a machine, had printed a long-lasting 10-year label that was durable to last out in the weather. So they talked me into selling steaks, and I started selling them like crazy. People calling every day with stories of good things that happened. The marriage improved, the church got staked out, and the giving went up. I mean, all kind of, one lady with agoraphobia for 22 years, completely cured when nothing else would help. And all I know is God's word is still powerful. So one day I get a call from the company in New Jersey I was ordering all the steaks from, and they said, sir, we just called to tell you we just canceled your last order for 700 more steaks. We don't have any more. We don't know what you're doing with all these steaks, but would you please buy them somewhere else? And so a couple of days later, I get a call from Jacksonville, Texas, only an hour from where I live in Longview, Texas. And this guy goes, is this Steve Hemphill? I said, yes. He said, are you the guy putting Bible verses on tent steaks? And I said, yes, I am. He said, I'm a plastics manufacturer, and I'd like to make them for you. I make the cups for the Dallas Cowboys games, and if you look on the bottom of the cups, there are words in the plastic. We do that by building a mold for the cup that already has engraving in the bottom, so when the you know cup pops out, it's already got the words. We could do a steak mold that has the verses you're using engraved in that, and we wouldn't have to put stickers on them. It'd be permanent part of the plastic. And I said, wow, that would be really cool. How would this work? He said, well, you got to buy the mold and bring it to us, and then we make steaks. And I said, okay, I'm in ministry now, and my salary is actually zero. How much is a mold? And he said, they're about $10,000. Wow, I caught my breath and said, well, thanks for calling. Have a nice day. He said, wait, don't hang up. What are you doing with all these steaks? And I started telling him stories. And after four or five stories, he stopped and said, wait, I'll pay for the mold. Never mind. And I said, sir, you don't even know me. He said, I know God. This is a God thing, and I want to be part of it. And so far, I've ordered 67,000 steaks. We've shipped them all over the world. And I get emails, phone calls, and text messages literally daily with other success stories. Many are making their own steaks. You don't need my steak, but God's word is still powerful. He's not the great I used to could. He's the I am because he still does.
Which clearly, and so naturally, I got some steaks at the NRB firsthand. My wife had been suffering with restless leg syndrome and couldn't sleep. I said, this is the ticket. And so there I was, Steve, out in the corners of my property praying over these Bible verses, looked up every one of them and prayed them there as I stuck them down in the ground. And sure enough, my wife is sleeping better. And I feel like we got all sorts of cool things going on. But we got to get back to Jennifer and Rodney because they got to stake stories of their own. So, guys, God took that story of yours and really kind of staked you guys into another ministry. And I'm kind of curious how you might relate to what Steve's story is and the way that God has taken you on, the adventure he's taken you on.
Well, God has just, led me every step of the way, leading me to college, providing the money to go, and then leading me to pastor a church for 8 years. And I've been a full-time evangelist now for 5 years, and we've printed over 90,000 books. We do prison ministry across the nation, but every step of the way has been God leading me open up doors, and stories been aired around the world several times, and just been a God thing, you know, trusting God, learning to walk by faith and not by sight, and God is the great I am. He can do all things, you know, and I trust him.
Yeah, and Jennifer, you know, from your standpoint, you know, it just seems like Rodney came on kind of strange, like you just need to receive Christ. And so, you know, I'm curious your approach now as somebody approaches you, like how, you know, I'm stuck on this drug and I'm trying to beat it. What do you use something similar? What do you say?
Oh, it's so funny. Yeah, I mean, I so related with what your other guest was saying about really, you know, claiming the word of God and grabbing onto that and really, if you don't battle this from a spiritual standpoint, you can't beat it. It's only behavior modification. And when you see things like addictions, in people's life, they don't make logical sense. You're like, why do you keep doing that? Why do you keep doing that? You have all this harm. Why? Because you're missing the spiritual element of it. And if you don't address the spiritual element, you will never get to the heart of it. So now I'm the same way. You know, when somebody's dealing with these issues and we counsel them, we love them. But it's not going to be from a behavior modification standpoint. It's going to be from an honest spiritual battle standpoint. And if you get that, that's where the breakthrough starts.
I mean, just yesterday, I was, you know, God kind of had me on whatever lesson plan he has is, you know, is my family's facing the same thing everybody else is facing across the country with COVID and all this. And he had me go look, I believe it's Ezekiel 23. You might correct me if I'm wrong, Rodney, where, you know, we're seeing how Satan breaks out. And, you know, Ezekiel kind of gives us the story of what happened, how he, you know, was the mighty cherub, and all of a sudden, you know, things went south bad. Well, it's interesting that if you look closely at those verses, I always thought that he got all vain and really thought he was really something. But when you look at it, what it says there in Ezekiel was that he was trading, almost like stock trading, that they're talking about was his sin. And as I began to talk to a friend about that, Jennifer, what they said was he was trading the truth for a lie.
Yeah.
It's like, and if you trade the truth that you are a child of God and that he can come in, yeah, and do this for the lie that I'm an addict, or that
that's
I'm
right,
I'm a loser, or I've got all these accusers.
Yeah, that's right. I'm saying, the change in my life began when I began claiming the word of God and my identity changed.
Yeah, that's a beautiful thing. Well, hey, we got to go to a break right now. We got one more segment. If you would like to call in with your view, we would love to hear it. 866-348-7884. We got one more little segment with Steve and Jennifer, but go to Kingdom Pursuits and Rodney, of course. Go to kingdompursuits.com and order these books. They're awesome. Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. Today we have with us Steve Hemphill with What Are the Stakes? God's Markers of the Land. That's his book, and of course the stakes, all that stuff's available at his website, which is linked right there at kingdompursuits.com, as well as Rodney and Jennifer Williams and their ministry, Club Meth to Christ. And so, Rodney, As we could just have a few more minutes left, really, very few minutes, could you kind of share with our listeners how they could be praying for you in this season and how you might want them to respond to your ministry?
We just pray that we'll reach more people. God will open up the doors that need to be opened, and we send these books out free across the country, and anybody sends me their address, an attic, whatever, we'll send them free books, you know, anybody in prison or jail.
Yeah, that's really wonderful. In fact, there's a ministry here in Raleigh that is actually, that's their whole deal, is to send books into jail. Maybe I need to make that connection. And Steve, from your standpoint, you know, in this current crisis and whatever, I know there are going to be a lot of people wanting to get stakes. What would you say?
Well, I would say it's an act of faith, and I used to think prayer was always enough, and that our only weapons were prayer and the word of God. But then I realized when the disciples couldn't cast out a demon once and Jesus did cast it out, that he said those kind of require prayer and fasting. Then I realized, you know, pray and fast, that's prayer plus action. And that worked. And then there's prayer plus oil, and there's prayer plus touch. And so I'm actually up to 46 weapons. So I see the stakes as a prayer plus action category item, and it, you could make your own. You don't have to have mine. I want to make it clear, it's not about me. This is about faith and prayer and the power of the Word of God. He is still active and alive today, and I'm happy to sell you stakes, but you don't need mine. And if somebody needs them and can't afford them, I always give them to them free. This is about helping people's lives be enriched by God's power still being available today.
Wow, and of all those different things, prayer plus, you know, share a couple more of those. Those sound awesome.
Well, you know, the woman with the issue of blood did the prayer plus touch, and technically she was disobedient because she was supposed to be yelling, "Unclean, unclean, don't get near me." And she had to sneak in there. And when the disciples heard Jesus say, "Who touched me?" He said, "What do you mean?" They said, "There's people pressing all around." And so the woman had to reveal herself, and it was prayer plus touch that, you know, that she was being disobedient, that Jesus said, "Your faith made you well." So she acted. There was no verse that said, "If you touch your favorite rabbi on the hem, you'll be healed." There wasn't a verse teaching that. There was no example of that. There was no inference, really. I mean, a vague scripture in the Old Testament about healing in the hem of the Messiah. But other than that, she just decided it would work. And, you know, a lot of people say, "Oh, prayer's enough. You don't need anything but prayer." But Jesus even taught prayer's not always enough. But other weapons that I've found so far are like testimonies or weapons. Revelation 22:12, I think it is. It says they overcame by their testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. I actually know a guy who was living a very ungodly lifestyle and got scared because he got on meth and started seeing demons. And he actually literally walked around his property praying the blood of Jesus. And after that, he walked away from his ungodly lifestyle and came back to the Lord. And so there's testimonies, there's blood of Jesus is a weapon, repentance is a weapon, confession is a weapon. Anyway, I'm up to 46, and that's part of my next few books. I can't get all the stories in even just one book. There's too many weapons to cover.
And there's a video at his website as well. But I'm wondering, Rodney, as you hear that, and you know, what are some of the weapons that you guys would use against meth?
Well, the you know, people getting into the truth of God's word, like he was talking about exercising, not just reading it, but exercising, put it into forgiveness. You know, forgiving, putting it into action, what God's telling us to do, not just a head knowledge, but putting it into action, and the renewing of the mind, the transformation that takes place, getting into God's word, the renewing of the mind, and learning what your new identity is, you know, and begin to walk in that new identity, and that's where freedom's at.
Yeah, I love that word that you mentioned, forgiveness. Like, wow, I would bet that is a giant in the midst of a lot of people's addiction, and one of those people they got to forgive is themselves.
Yes, absolutely. Hardest one.
Yeah. And so I'm interested, Steve, have you got something on coming up against forgiveness?
Well, you know, if you don't forgive, then you could, just like the guy that got the $10 million forgiven and the story of Jesus told, and then he wouldn't forgive his buddy $20, he lost his own forgiveness. So really, our forgiveness from God is conditional on us forgiving our fellow man, because we all need that same forgiveness. And if you don't forgive, forgiveness becomes bitterness. And bitterness is like cutting your own wrist and looking at the other guy expecting him to bleed to death.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
I've tried that. It worked. In fact, I'm pretty sure I did it last week. It seems like we can learn these lessons, and oh my goodness. Well, Jennifer, we haven't let you talk much, so we're going to give you the last word.
Yeah, well, I just absolutely would say it's about your identity, you know, getting into the Word and getting the Word in you. And I always tell the people I speak to, preaching to yourself, you've got to take under authority those thoughts that come into your mind. Stop them and start preaching to yourself, and then you need to be listening to other people preaching to you good stuff.
There
so there's
going
to be some relationships that have to be cut off.
We got to go. Thank you so much for listening to Kingdom Pursuits today. Now stay tuned. You got so much truth coming at you. You got encouraging prayer. Actually, James Banks is going to be praying with us. Coming up, stay tuned.
This is the Truth Network.